The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
My son was not afraid of what I was going to do. He was afraid of me. I remembered my own growing up in a physically and emotionally abusive household. I made myself a promise, and it went like this. I will never treat my children this way. But there I was, getting ready to slam my baby, and it broke me.
Learning to live in harmony with God, others, and yourself is living strong. Next.
And be here with us for a couple of programs this week you're going to enjoy. I'm James Robison, and my wife Betty and I welcome you. I don't know if you've heard, but we have celebrated, now listen, 57 years married. And we still like each other. Yeah, we like you. It's, as I've gotten older, it's kind of month-by-month extension, you know. I just pray for another year. Well, Lisa Bevere is with us, and her husband, John Bevere, they are an incredible couple. Their whole family just blesses us all over the place. And I've been their friend for a good while, and we're close. Would you welcome Lisa Bevere back to life today?
Thank you.
Glad to see you.
It's so great to be here.
All right. You have this book is Devotions, and it's titled Strong. And how to live a powerful, passionate life. And you wrote about the importance. You actually, I think, referred to women as being, you know, strong as a lioness. You've talked about being strong. Mm-hmm. And you're making it very clear that strong's not wrong. I think you wanted to talk about that because strong doesn't mean mean. We're not talking about mean women, are we?
There are mean women, but we could talk about them, but that's not what I'm trying to develop. That is for sure.
Okay, strong's not wrong, though. Yeah. And I definitely, listen, you know, look at this. I just even referred to this. This is a woman in Africa, and you've been there with us.
Yeah.
Let me just say thank you for going. Now, your husband went with us when we got held captive, and we were told we were going to. We're going to die, and he's saying he wouldn't because
what? He knew he was safe because he was with you. He's like, but we're not going to die.
I'm so glad he knew. We didn't in the missionaries, didn't we?
Like
thought
gun
it was
point.
Over. But okay, so you've been over here, and these women, here she is carrying water. She's probably walked many kilometers, many miles, and has a baby.
Yeah.
And they are strong.
Yeah.
This is a strong that is absolutely 100% right and inspirational. I have an idea you're talking about a strength that is very positive, not overbearing, not something that makes people terribly uncomfortable, but actually can be like this. It can be admirable. Am I right about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, it takes a whole lot more strength to lift people than it does to hold them down. And so I want to build a strength into women where they are lifting other women. They are lifting their relationships around them, they're lifting the men. I don't believe that I get my strength by taking it from men. I get my strength from God. And I think it's a big mistake right now to think, hey, wrong is strong. I'm going to be angry. I'm going to tell everybody what they're doing wrong. It's time for me to find my voice and denounce everybody and everything. There are some things that definitely have happened that are wrong. But strength actually speaks solution rather than just echoing out the problem. We have a whole generation that they are criticizing when they need to be prophesying. And so we need somebody to get a strength from heaven and begin to speak into these situations. In the world, we hear wrong is strong. Be angry. Embrace your anger. Then we have the flip side in the church. Oh, no, no. Strong is wrong. You can't be strong as a woman. But I love how the Message paraphrases Ephesians 6:10. It opens up with God is strong and he wants you strong. Mm-hmm. And I want God's daughters to know their father is strong and he wants them strong. So he's made every provision for them to have the strength that they need. Because you and I know the longer we live, the more strength we need. This life requires strength. And what we have is a lot of people who have the appearance of strength, but they don't have the time to actually build a core strength. You know, John, when John and I first got married, I believed wrong was strong. I believe, you know, I'm fighting. I'm just going to fight in my marriage. And it's harder to fight for a marriage than just fight in a marriage. And I had a real problem with anger. You know, I'm half Sicilian, which just right there, that's hallelujah. You know, yeah, we need to pray. Half Sicilian. I have a little bit of French. I thought I had Apache Indian, but they took it away from me in the DNA test and gave me Arab, which I don't feel like that was helpful. So we have all these different things going on. John, you know, is not a shrinking violet. And so we would have these huge conflicts. And when you have a conflict, what happens is there's always that place where you go into the place of the no return zone. And I would always ask, John would escalate it, I would escalate it. John would escalate it, I would escalate it. And I had to learn that that wasn't strong. That wasn't strong. That wasn't helpful. I needed to actually have some tools that were going to build my marriage instead of every single week deconstructing things and then having to reconstruct. And so one of the things I learned, and again, I go through this, I open up my own life. I have so many mistakes. I don't have to borrow anybody else's. And I talk about how I wanted to be heard, but because I wasn't being heard, I said it louder. I said it in ways that there was a threat attached. I said it with somebody. So what I had to do is learn if I wanted to be heard, I needed to say it the way I'd want to hear it. And that's just simple.
That's good.
But that's not necessarily easy. And then I had this problem with anger that I took as my own. I said, well, of course I'm mad. I mean, I'm Sicilian. Of course I'm mad. Of course I'm mad. I've got, you know, terrorist blood. Whatever it was, I was like, of course I'm mad. So as long as I made excuses, I didn't make any progress. And you'll probably remember, because I've had so many opportunities to be on this, but there came a crisis moment for me where I almost hurt my firstborn son, where I'd had my second child and I felt completely out of control. I thought, I will never brush my teeth before noon again. And my husband was coming home every day from work and saying, what did you do all day? And I'd be standing there with my nursing flaps down, a baby in my arms, a Spanx spoon in my hand. I'd be like, I don't know, but I have been busy, John. I don't know. Stop asking me this question. And one day, Addison came down the stairs, and I no longer saw a child. I saw an enemy. I thought, this is the one keeping me from getting anything done. I don't know how to keep him on his bed. And James and Betty, I grabbed my little two-year-old son, and I went storming up the stairs with him, and I remember thinking, I'm going to lift him up eye level. I'm going to slam him into the wall, put him down in the bed, and he'll know to stay there. I lifted my son up eye level, and what I saw stopped me, because my son was not afraid of what I was going to do. He had no idea what I was going to do. He was afraid of me. And when I saw the terror in my son's eyes, I remembered my own growing up in a physically an emotionally abusive household. And every time I was slapped, every time I was kicked, every time I was shoved into a wall, I made myself a promise. And it went like this: I will never treat my children this way. But there I was, a born again, spirit filled pastor's wife, getting ready to slam my baby, and it broke me. I remember I went downstairs, I hit the carpet, and I said, it's not my parents, they're not here. It's not John, he's at the office. It's me. I have a real problem with anger, and I don't know how to get free. And in this devotional, I talk about how I did get free, because what happened was, it was a process. First of all, I wept that day like a baby until there was nothing left. And in the stillness, I heard the Holy Spirit say, because you're no longer justifying this. I'll take it out of your life. He said, what you justify, you buy. Mm-hmm. You say, I've earned the right to be this way because of what's been done to me. But the truth is, yeah, there's things that have been done to all of us, but what was done for us is greater than what was done to us. And so that day, weeping, I called my mom. I forgave my mom of a particular incident that I had hidden in my heart. And she started crying. And I remember I felt horrible that she was crying. We prayed together that this pattern, because see, these are things that become patterns, that this pattern of abuse, this pattern of unhealthy anger would stop. And when John came home, I told him what I had almost done. And see, I was forgiven when I confessed it to God. I was healed when I confessed it with my mom, and she was healed. But I was accountable when I talked to my husband. And when I talked to my husband, what happened for the first time, I was positioned to develop strength in my life because I was going to develop something. I remember I would lay in my bed before I even got out of bed, and I would say, Heavenly Father, put a watch over my mouth. Let me be slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to wrath. Every single day, that was my movement forward. And we have a generation right now that I like to say is hangry. You know, hangry is a really bad combination. Hungry for more and angry. And they are spewing things out and they are tearing down the very things they want to build. The Bible says, be angry
and sin not.
So I'm not going to ask anybody to stuff anything. I'm going to teach them how to be constructive with their anger rather than destructive with it.
Y'all appreciate Lisa and the wisdom you're hearing. While you were going through all these things, I really wanted to pick this book up strong. And here's what I want you to hear. You see how she's downloading. This is a gift from God. Our minds don't think that fast on our own. Something's happening. It's called inspiration. And by the way, you said something about women. It was a phrase a while ago. You said they're doing something when they should prophesy. What did you precede?
We have a generation that's criticizing rather than prophesying. Yeah.
All right, let me hang on that prophesying for a moment. A lot of people think prophesying, Lisa, is you're foretelling the future, which that's not at all what it is. Because you remember when Paul said, I wish you all spoke in tongues, but I'd rather you prophesy. Didn't he say that to the whole New Testament church?
Yeah.
Which that included men and women, all of you, the whole church. And so prophesying, because I really, really examined this and talked to the Lord about it, prophesying is simply speaking words of life. Mm-hmm. So what Paul is saying is every time you open your mouth, church, I want you to prophesy. I want you to speak life. And I've said to a girl going out on a date, you may hear your dad say, honey, you need to be real careful today. Or one of the children may be leaving and the mother will say, hey, be careful, keep your eyes on the road. That's prophesying. Mm. That's a word of what? Life.
Right.
And we need to hear it. And when we look at others and speak to them, we need to be asking God, is life coming through my lips to you?
Good.
Am I prophesying? Not forthtelling, not future telling, not making predictions, speaking words of life. So if we're full of the words of life, that's what comes out. You're full of it, lady. You're full of it. All right? And I've been in, and I mean, you're full of the right it, okay?
Thank you. Yeah. I probably have a little bit of both.
I've been in some of these heated discussions they've had, and you know what?
Stood up for me, and I loved you.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
I loved you for.
I was absolutely going to say that because you were right, John. She was right. You understand that? Don't you ever forget it, okay? Here's the deal, and he knows it. And you adopted me.
Yes, I did.
You know what? You know why you would? Because you saw something of him.
Yeah.
That was not just standing up for Lisa in a situation, but for the calmness and peace of God. But you happened to be right. So I might have tried to help you say it better right.
Absolutely.
But the point is with that. Okay. Here is what I want you to see in this book, because you say, wow, I wish she'd just come sit in a room and talk to us like this. Well, that's what she does. Go here. If they want to find your schedule, where would they go online to see where you're going to be speaking?
Instagram, Facebook, Twitter.
Lisa Bevere.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Do you have a ministry thing they can go to?
We have Messenger International, but I actually have my own page that's Lisa Bevere.
Lisa Bevere. Mm-hmm. So fine. Yeah. Don't worry about John. He'll be all right. look here. But here's the thing I want you to see. In this incredible, this is just like her flowing. The first part is strong in God, strong in spirit, strong in purity. She taught purity's power right here in this studio. Mm-hmm. It was awesome. I remember the first time I heard it, I said, dear God, I can't believe the wisdom flowing through this woman's lips to all these girls. It was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Strong in truth, strong in relationships, strong in battle, strong in grace, strong in self-control, strong in freedom, strong in holiness. And that doesn't mean religiosity.
No.
That means Christ-likeness. It's not spooky
Absolutely.
Holy either.
No.
It's attractive. It's magnetically
Yes.
beautiful
Absolutely.
To live in His holiness.
Absolutely.
All right. We're going to talk to you in another program, but do you think that if people would get this devotion, and I broke down the parts. I can go in here. This thing is phenomenal. I want you to get it. see, it's like taking, we really would like Lisa to be there talking to us. Here she is talking to you. And what she's talking to you about is from the Word of God.
Yeah.
It's what God showed her and put it in her to where she didn't just carry the Word around anymore. The Word's carrying her around. And it just flows like a river. So she's put all this down. And it's just absolutely wonderful. Leaving the land of regret. When you get down to the end of it, there's this little caption here. This is in every one of them. Okay. I'm strong because I redeem my regret with purpose. Mm-hmm. Do you like that?
Yeah,
don't you think?
Absolutely.
Do you think this is helpful?
Absolutely.
All right. So you see someone anointed, and she's placed something in your hands that God put in her heart. Lisa, you've been to the mission field with
yep.
us. It's indescribably awesome what God does through yielded vessels, isn't it?
Yeah.
And can you say to all our viewers that their love gifts work miracles that are indescribable? That's not an exaggeration, is it?
It's not an exaggeration at all. Matter of fact, the people in the lands where we've got to go, they actually thought we were angels mm-hmm. because of the extent of the love that you brought over there. And I have witnessed it in Cambodia. I have witnessed it in India. I have witnessed it in Thailand. We've witnessed it in Africa. It isn't just giving them a piece of food or a drink. It is giving them life.
Yes,
and I understand that food and drink gives life, but I'm talking about life that is transformative. And our relationship with you guys has transformed how we did life and ministry, how we did marriage, and how we raised up our children. You actually have given our family an idea around a generosity culture. I still remember the first time I ever watched Life Today was when I was nursing Alexander, and it was Betty and Ann, and they were talking to a mother in Africa, and she had carried her baby for days, and by the time she had gotten there, it was too late. The baby couldn't even receive nourishment. I was breastfeeding my son, and I saw this mother in Africa. Her breasts were completely empty, and that child died, and all I know is a wail came out of my spirit. And at that moment, I looked at my second son, Austin, and I said, you are potty training. I need your diaper money. And I know that sounds, but James, I was so thrilled that I could partner with you guys. I'd never met you at the time. I just took that $25 a month, and I knew that you would take it and that you would break it and like loaves and fishes, and it would go all over. I never dreamed. I never dreamed when I sewed that I would ever be on a show. I never dreamed when I sewed that I would ever get to go overseas. But I can tell with a complete assurance that every single seed we've ever sown into Life Today has been well-tended and come back in our own lives in multiplied ways.
Do you appreciate just her testimony? Because she's talking about you. That really is the truth. We came with a broken heart. The missionary said, please go back and ask so we don't just live here with a broken heart and empty hands. And we came back and told you. We didn't know if you'd help, but you reached out and put God's arms around a broken world. I want you to listen to a truly anointed person, just like Lisa is. I want you to listen to Sheila and listen to God speak through her. How I thank God for Sheila. Thank God for the missionaries, but just listen to what she's sharing with you, please, because you really are the answer. You are the miracle that people rightly long for. You are that miracle right now that Lisa's talked about. Watch closely and prayerfully.
The birth of a child is one of the most transcendent moments in time. The miracle of life. Tiny hands and feet, we instinctively see they're created in the image of God. And over time, they grow into the young men and women they were designed to be. At least, that's every parent's hope and prayer.
I don't know if you can see. Oh, darling, I don't want to touch it. I don't want to hurt you, but can you see her skin? Her skin has begun to literally peel off her body.
Throughout Africa, terrible events like famine and drought have decimated entire communities and left many with little or no food. The devastating effects of severe food shortages are most visible in the children.
With severe malnutrition, the first organ to shut down is the skin. It's as if all the reserves go to try and protect what's left inside. James and Betty, you have sat here over and over and over through the years, faithfully serving and feeding millions. But I know you'll see this. This mom, who is desperate like any mom would be to save the life of her precious child, had to travel 30 kilometers to get here. But it's why mission feeding matters so much. We talk about life where it's needed most. Where it's needed most is in the villages where these darling children live. Because this mom shouldn't have to travel 30 kilometers with a desperately sick little lamb. They need our help, and they need it now.
You know, when Sheila's saying they traveled, that wasn't by vehicle. They walked. And many of them are weak. And they come with the hope that my baby, my child will live, and they have by the millions. You got to see them as one at a time, though. I'm just trying to tell you the effectiveness of your love has saved millions of children like that. And Sheila's just such a treasure. But you're the greater treasure. That's what the missionaries say. I used to go around and say the missionaries are the greatest Christians I ever met. And the missionaries said, no, we're not. The people that keep us here, they're the greatest Christians. And you are. Would you right now help us get God's arms around hundreds of thousands of little children that we've got located and ready? I was looking, Betty, at us when we were so young. My hair was dark 30 years ago we started. You know, we're still young, of course.
Mine hadn't changed at all.
And I see us there with those precious kids, and I'm thinking, really, it's all happened because of you. You can say, well, it's the missionaries. So the missionaries made it clear to us. They said, if you just came over and stay with us, James, and we don't have help, we'll just all be here with broken hearts. Why don't you go back and see if you can get us help? We came back and started selling stuff. And we started, but we were stunned by the yielded vessels watching us on television that saw the need that love could meet. See, I'm praying for love to be poured out on all the needs in the United States and Canada and Australia and UK and all over the world. Because you never really assist a person in need without a compassion connection. You can't target somebody's money at it. You can't just put government resources. You've got to be there with the love of God. And these are anointed, separated, called by God vessels that just release this transforming power. And you make it possible. You support it. Would you get your bank card? Use it like a check. Go online. Call the number that's there as a prayer line always. And make the gift God put on your heart to make. $30, $50, $100, we can feed 3, 5, or 10 children. If you can possibly help us feed 10, please do it. If you could give $1,000 and feed 100, please do it. Whatever you can do, you make that gift. We have some beautiful gifts to send you, but you're giving the greatest gift. You're giving life. Thank you so much for doing it.
Mission Feeding began with a promise to be there in times of crisis for thousands of hurting and hungry children in their time of need. Now more than ever, we need your help to save lives by feeding and caring for children across the continent of Africa. With food reserves gone and many areas experiencing severe famine, we urgently need to replenish our supplies to reach the 350,000 children who are counting on us. Your gift of love can be the miracle answer to a desperate mother's prayer. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 that will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you the Global Impact of Life Journal. This softcover journal includes pictures from the mission field and inspiring scriptures as a reminder of your impact in giving to bless lives around the world. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the Global Impact Bible. This English Standard Version presents a fascinating guide to the impact of the best-selling book of all time, filled with quotes from well-known figures, photographs, and reproductions of fine art. It highlights the many surprising ways Scripture has shaped civilization. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our commemorative bronze sculpture, A Mother's Strength. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Weren't you blessed by what Lisa shared? Amen. I mean, everything she shared, and about the missions, because that's what you do. That's what God's love does through you. And we're strong in Him. This is a phenomenal book. I think, frankly, everything Lisa does is so anointed of God that I wish it would be in the hands and hearts of everybody. You help us give hope to those children, those mothers, and you say, would you mind sending us Lisa's book, Strong? You better believe we will, to say thank you, along with the other gifts. Would you join me and Betty in saying a big thanks to Lisa Bevere for being with us? And thank all of you. Thank you for watching. Thanks for sharing life. Thank you so much.
And I just did everything and found out I had become the person I didn't want to be.
Be strong in virtue tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.